the Word of God contains both powerful history and accurate prophecy of the future of nations. Join Reverend I.T. Matura as he does an exposition of the Book of Daniel. Get ready to be empowered and equipped by the Bible lessons from this study.
Greetings, saints. Welcome to lesson 4 of the exposition of the Book of Daniel. We continue with our study of the Book of Daniel. In our previous lesson, we looked at lesson number 3, where we looked at the faith of the three Hebrew boys in the face of threat and danger, and how they stood for their faith when everyone else was bowing to the golden image that had been set up by Nebuchadnezzar. These four young men refused to bow, and they stand in what they believe and for what they believe in, and they believe in God, and God delivers them from the hand of the king. They are thrown into the fire, but Jesus comes into the fire and they come out without any burn, either on their clothes or their hair. And this becomes a major testimony in Babylon. They are promoted after having gone through a test. So today we move on to lesson number 4, which I have titled Nebuchadnezzar's Second Dream and the Interpretation. Now you'd understand in our lesson 2 that we looked at Nebuchadnezzar's first dream. So this is the second dream that he has. So I'll do an overview of chapter number 4. Then we'll look at 5 lessons that we get from this chapter. And I believe you'll be blessed and you'll be empowered by the word of God. Get your notebook, get your Bible. Let's get into the study. Now from verse 1 to verse 3, it begins with King Nebuchadnezzar praising God the Most High. Now this chapter is written from Nebuchadnezzar's point of view. It's almost him narrating what transpired and how he had a dream that he needed an interpretation of it. But in verse 1 to 3, he begins by addressing the people that are his subject, people of all nations and languages, and telling them what God has done. Verse 2 says, "I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the Most High has wrought towards me. How great are his signs, how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. His dominion is from generation to generation." Now, this is a heathen king who has come to acknowledge God as God, who is King of Kings, whose kingdom is from everlasting to everlasting. Now, for you to understand how Nebuchadnezzar came to this place where he acknowledged the dominion of God, you then understand in the preceding verses that are to come, how God dealt with him and humbled him to the place then he had to acknowledge that God is God and is God over all. Now, verse 4 to verse 9, Nebuchadnezzar has a second dream that troubles him. He calls his magicians to interpret, but they fail. It seems Nebuchadnezzar does not learn, because he had an experience like this one. You remember in lesson 2, where he dreamt a dream and he called his magicians to come and tell him the dream before they interpret, but they failed. He again puts trust in the same people that failed him before, but they fail again. And at last Daniel comes and he is able to interpret the dream for Nebuchadnezzar. So the king again is perplexed by a dream, and it is a divine dream. Now verse 7 says, "Then came in magicians, astrologers, the Chaldeans and soothsayers, and I told the dream before them, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof." Verse 8 says, "But at last Daniel came in before me, whose name is Belshazzar, according to the name of my God, in whom the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, before him I told the dream, saying, O Belshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the Spirit of the Holy Gods are in thee." You see, at this point, Nebuchadnezzar still had his faith in his holy gods. So he thought that the spirit that was working in Daniel was the spirit of his holy gods. He is yet to acknowledge that there is a God who is the God of heaven, and it is he that gives interpretation to Daniel. Now from verse 10 to verse 18, the king then tells Daniel the dream. He relays the dream to him, what he dreamt and what he saw while he was asleep. So he tells him, I'll summarize, that while he was sleeping on his bed, he saw a tree that grew and was strong, and it was very high to reach the heavens. and it was seen throughout the whole earth. Its leaves were fair, and it had so much fruit, and the beasts of the field would come, and the birds and many animals would come and find shelter under it and also feed from it. But while he slept, he then saw a watcher, the Holy One, come down from heaven. This must have been an angel. And he cried out aloud that the tree has to be cut off, and the branches cut off, and its leaves and fruit must be scattered, and let the beast get away from under it. So, but then there is a word given that says, nonetheless, let the stump with its roots be left. So there was a remnant of the tree that was left, and an iron brass and chain was to be tied to the tree. Verse 16 says, let his heart be chained from the man's to the beast heart be given to him, and seven times pass over him. Verse 17 says, this matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdoms of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basset of man. Amen. So we see here a decree coming in the dream that Nebuchadnezzar is sharing with Daniel, that this tree was cut off, but then a voice came and says, don't cut off the stump. But then a decree says that men may know that God ruleth in the kingdoms of men. It is important that we understand that God is God. Even in earthly kingdom, he is God. And ultimately, his plan and his purposes will come to pass. Verse 19 to 27, Daniel is astonished by the king's dream. So for a moment, almost an hour, the Bible says he could not speak, and the king had to encourage him to speak. And later he gives the king the interpretation of the dream, and he tells him to say, the tree that you saw that was big and great is you, King Nebuchadnezzar. You are the great one. You have been given dominion. Verse 22 says, it is thou, O king, that art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion is to the end of the earth. Verse 23, whereas the king saw a watcher and the Holy One coming down from heaven, saying, you the tree down, that means cut it off, destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field. Let it be wet with the dew of heaven. Let his portion be with the beast of the field till seven times pass over him. So there is a time that is decreed. Then verse 24, Daniel says, this is the interpretation, O king. This is the decree of the Most High, which is come upon my lord the king, that thou shalt be driven from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field, and they shall make thee eat grass as an ox, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven. Seven times shall pass over thee till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he wills. So Daniel gives the interpretation that it is you, King Nebuchadnezzar, but God has decreed that you are going to be cut off, and you are going to be driven from being a man, and you shall be like an animal eating the grass and being rained upon by the dew of heaven. This is rain like an animal. And a time was decreed. The Bible says seven times have to pass before this judgment comes to an end, because God wanted to make a statement for Nebuchadnezzar to know that it is he that ruleth in the kingdoms of men, and he allows whomsoever he wills to be able to sit on the throne. So then he is advised by Daniel to say, may you be able to flee from your sins, turn away from your iniquities, show mercy to the poor, so that you may lengthen your days of tranquility. So Daniel is saying, by chance God will forgive you and have mercy on you. So turn away from evil, turn away from your iniquities, and show mercy to the poor. By chance God will show mercy to you. Verse 28 to 33 sees the fulfillment of Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Now, this is after 12 months that he had that dream. The king became proud and God humbled him, and he had shown him in the dream. Listen to what Nebuchadnezzar says to himself. Verse 30 of chapter 4, the king spake and said, Is not this great Babylon that I have built for my own, for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and the honor of my majesty? Yay. And while he spoke, verse 31, while the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. So you see that Nebuchadnezzar became proud. He lifted himself up and said, is this not Babylon the Great that I've built by my might for my honor? And now if you go to the book of Revelation, this is the type of the worldly system. You see the fall of Babylon the Great, world economies, world systems that collapse in a moment. And we see a type of it here, where the king of Babylon, in a moment, while he lifted himself up, judgment came upon him. Verse 32 says, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. They shall make thee eat grass as oxen. This is a king who becomes an animal, like an animal, goes mad and goes crazy, and eats grass like an animal, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdoms of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. Now, this is the fourth time that this statement is repeated, that God wanted to show that he is king, and he ruleth in the kingdoms of men, and he giveth to whomsoever he allows. Verse 33 says, the same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as an oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hair was grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like a black bird's claws. Oh, what a shock. This is a king that has been humbled by God, turned into an animal, living outside, away from his palace that had made him proud. God brings judgment, because God can bring judgment, because ultimately God is the King of Kings. Ultimately, the kingdoms of this world will be taken over by the kingdom of God, for he reigneth over the kingdoms of this world. Now, from verse 34 to 37, Nebuchadnezzar then repents. And the moment he repents, God restores him. What does it mean? He acknowledges God as God, and that he is the one that ruleth. The moment he acknowledges, God restores him. Verse 34 says, and at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. Now you see now why Nebuchadnezzar was praising God at the beginning of this chapter, because he is the one telling this story, and he comes to a place where he acknowledges and blesses the Lord Most High, and he says, I praised him and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is from everlasting unto everlasting. His kingdom is from generation to generation. That's the kingdom of God. It's from everlasting to ever. It began from everlasting. It will continue into everlasting. His dominion is from generation to generation. And this is Nebuchadnezzar, who is giving glory to God after he had been humbled. He lifts up his eyes and repents, and he acknowledges God. And the moment that he does that, oh, God remembers him in his mercy. Verse 35 says, all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say to him, what doest thou? Verse 37, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to to abase, that means to humble. Hallelujah. So now there are five lessons that we can draw out of this chapter that I'll share with you before we conclude this lesson. Lesson number one, God speaks through dreams. Now it's important that you begin to respect dreams, because dreams are an avenue that God speaks to us. Even in the New Testament, you remember Joel says when he prophesied, Joel 2:28, in the last days I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will see, will dream dreams. So visions and dreams are the language of the Spirit. When Jesus was born, it was God communicating to Joseph and Mary through dreams that Christ would be born and how he was delivered and to flee to Egypt. Not all dreams are spiritual dreams. Not all dreams are God speaking to us, but they are dreams when God speaks to us, and you must be able to discern spiritual dreams that carry a message from God, because God will speak in dreams, and you need, when you discern it, you must wake up and write that dream down. Whenever I dream a spiritual dream, I take note of it. Either I write it down or I record it in audio in my phone so that I don't forget it. Dreams can flee away from you. You can forget them. You can forget. And I think that's what happened with Nebuchadnezzar in the first dream, that it perplexed him, that he even forgot it, that he needed someone to remind him what this dream was. So God speaks through dreams, and we must discern those dreams. Number two, God anoints his servants to interpret divine mysteries. So God is a God who anoints his servants. And Daniel was anointed. If you remember in chapter 1, the lesson 1 we covered, the Bible says, and God gave Daniel the ability to interpret dreams and visions. It was a gift that came from God. So God anoints his servants to interpret mysteries. You remember Joseph, he carried this anointing. He was able to interpret the dream of Pharaoh, and it led to the preservation of lives, and he was promoted because of it. So God's anointing gives the ability to interpret mysteries. That's the power of the Spirit of God. It is the Spirit that reveals mysteries, the Spirit of God that brings understanding. Hallelujah. Number three, God humbles the proud and passes judgment even on kings. Now you read in the book of James, and the Bible says God gives the grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. So whether you are an ordinary person or you are a king, God resists the proud. He actually humbles the proud. The book of Proverbs says pride comes before a fall. It's actually a prophecy that once you lift yourself up, a fall is coming. And Nebuchadnezzar saw it practically. God humbled him and took him from his throne, and he went mad like an animal, and he stayed in the forest and began to eat like an ox the grass of the field. His hair grew, his fingernails became like the claws of a bird, and people could not understand what was happening. And I believe in this time, those that were close to him tried to keep it a secret, because the king, if it was in today's world, it was the president, goes mad and begins to eat grass. Imagine if the newspapers get a hold of that story, that the king has gotten mad, the president has gotten mad. This was the story of Nebuchadnezzar being judged and God bringing judgment. So God can judge the kings of this world, the presidents of this world. God carries authority to bring judgment upon them. They might try and flee from human courts and go against justice and do a lot of evil, but they cannot run away from the hand of God, because ultimately God is the judge, and he passes judgment even upon kings of this world. Hallelujah. Number four, God is merciful to those that humble themselves before him and repent. So God shows mercy to those that humble themselves. You see it here that Nebuchadnezzar, even a heathen king, when he humbled himself before God, the Bible says when he looked up to heaven, that moment his senses returned and he went back to his throne, and his servants came back again, and those that ministered to him came back, because he humbled himself. If he had not humbled himself, God would not have restored him. So whenever we humble ourselves, we attract the mercy of God. Never lift yourself up, but humble yourself before the Lord, and God will release grace and mercy towards you. The last lesson, whatever we have achieved, let's always acknowledge that it is by the grace of God. It's very important. Nebuchadnezzar came to this place now that he was acknowledging that it was not him that had caused him to be so great, but it was just the mercy and grace of God. He acknowledges God Most High, the God of heaven, and says there is no one like him who ruleth even in the kingdoms of men. May it be also a warning to you that whatever you have achieved in your personal life, in your career, in your ministry, remember that it is God. It is by the grace of God. Never beat your own drum. Never beat your chest and say, I am great. I have done great things. Always acknowledge the grace of God that has brought you to where you are, the grace of God that has carried you, the grace of God that has enabled you to achieve what you have achieved. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. For what we are today is because of you. What we have achieved is by your grace. There is nothing that we have done. There is nothing that we have done that we have given ourselves. All that we have received from you, O God. So we honor you, Heavenly Father, and I acknowledge that you are King of kings, and you reign, Father, even in the kingdoms of men, even in the nations of men, you reign. There is none like unto you. You are from everlasting unto everlasting. Your kingdom and dominion is from generation unto generation. Father, you are unfailing. Your tender mercies, O God, are new every morning. Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We pray that, God, the spirit of humility be our portion, that we may never be puffed up, but we may always walk in humility and meekness, acknowledging that, God, you are God and you are Lord, and there is none like unto thee. Hallelujah. If you are listening to this and you have not given your life to Jesus Christ, you have not acknowledged him as Lord and Savior of your life, you need to do so today. I want you to pray this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, I acknowledge that you are Lord over my life. I acknowledge that I am a sinner and I have sinned. I pray that you forgive me my sins. May you wash me with your precious blood. May you cleanse me from all my iniquities. I receive you today as my Lord and Savior. I believe I am born again through the blood of Jesus Christ, and I am now a new creation. Amen and amen. If you have prayed that prayer, believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth, you are now a child of God. Get hold of a Bible, read it from the book of Romans, and begin to pray daily so that you may grow. Find a Bible-based church where you can fellowship in Jesus' name. God bless you. Let's catch up on when we continue with the exposition as we look at lesson number 5. Amen.
Thank you for listening and following the lesson from the exposition of Daniel. For more Bible lessons, follow Reverend I.T. Matura on his podcast at innocentmatura.podbean.com.